finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to our program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program. We have a great program prepared for you today out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, that we have titled Cyrus the Shepherd. You don't want to miss this program, so we encourage you to get your Bibles and follow along with us as we dive into the Word of God. And if you're following us on social media, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along with us as well. But before I continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to dive back into the book of Isaiah. We thank you, Lord, for your great love for us that you show through your word, through your deeds. And Lord, we do pray for everybody tuned in that, Lord, we may grow in our relationship with you. That's the purpose, that why we do what we do here. And so, Lord, reveal yourself to us today in your precious and wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into our Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our topic is that of Cyrus the Shepherd, Isaiah chapter 45. Before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host to the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, another wonderful week.
Yeah, brother. Although I got to be honest, I'm a little sad today because Scott Adams died, the creator of Dilbert.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he'd been battling prostate cancer, and I remember this time last year he had announced it, and when Biden had announced his prostate cancer, and he thought he'd be dead by the fall, so he got a few months in. But, you know, a lot of people, especially the editorial cartoonist Gary Varvel, had reached out to him many times online trying to bring him to the Lord, and just this week, Scott Adams put a message out that, well, you know, so he's going to convert to Christianity. My concern is that when he said that, he made it sound like, well, what could I lose, right? There was no repentance or faith involved there. So I don't know. I've been praying for Scott Adams for the last year. Only the reason is because he's an unbeliever, of course, but atheist most of his career. But I've been following Dilbert since the early 90s. You know, I worked through college on a number of jobs, and one of them was cleaning offices in an electronics plant. And every cubicle had a Dilbert stuck up on the wall there. So I've been following Dilbert now for 35 years. And so it's tragic to see somebody who had the gospel given to him so many times, and then it just seems like, you know, I'm so resistant to it. So my heart's a little sad. One, that we won't get any more Noob Dilbert strips after the year or two, but also that, you know, he could be in, you know, torments right now. So, it's a little sad, but sorry, I didn't mean to be a downer.
Well, Nate, no, I'm so glad because when we do these programs, we just share who we are with the audiences and we don't always have to start them out in the same way. But news is important. That's also part of the gospel, that we are to be ready because we never know. But we also need to have a real relationship with the Lord. And I think you made a very good point, Nate. Everyone needs to consider their eternity. And especially if you just joined us and maybe you're having some illnesses or some sicknesses, it is important to truly seek the Lord now while he can be found, because he knows the heart, right, Nate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And certainly a lot of Christians reached out to him. And what was really nice, what Scott Adams revealed, is that he said only the Christians, because they cared so much, kept reaching out to him. And that had an impact on him. That meant that we generally believe, obviously, in what what we believe, and that affected him. So, brother, I'm praying that he did truly accept Jesus as Savior, but all I can do is go on what his video was, and it was basically like, well, what do I have to lose? You know, there was no faith commitment there in Jesus, no repentance, so, and you need those things in order to surrender your life to Jesus. So, I don't know, brother, I pray and hope that someday we will see Scott Adams in heaven.
Amen. Well, Nate, I have a little sad news, but mine is a little more carnal. Okay, my team, the Jaguars, lost the football game.
You have a team? I didn't know that.
I actually became a fan this year just of the Florida team, just for fun. My wife and I, the Dolphins and the Jaguars and the Buccaneers, and but they lost making it to the playoffs, but they did very well. So that is my tidbit on football. That's all I know. I don't know a lot about football. But yeah, Nate, so it's fun. But maybe someone just tuned in, Nate, and they go, "What are these guys talking about? Isn't this a program about Bible prophecy?" Well, it is. And Nate, will you be able to share with individuals what we do and how they can get a hold of our resources?
Oh, absolutely. Vic and I are both evangelists with Lamb and Lion Ministries. We're a Bible prophecy teaching ministry, and our mission is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus is coming right around the corner. We're excited about it, and we want to help other people get excited about it too, because when you know that Jesus is coming soon, it gives you hope, it motivates you to holy living, and it makes you evangelistic in the time we have short. So if you want to know more, check our website out at christinprophecy.org or download our Lamb and Lion app.
Oh, thank you so much, Nate, for sharing that information. And yes, everyone, we've been in a wonderful journey through the book of Isaiah, Nathan and I. We started it last year, now into this year. And in our last program, we left everyone, like in those TV programs, on a cliffhanger, right, Nate?
Yes, we did. At the very end of Isaiah 44, made a particularly prophecy about a guy named Cyrus.
Now, Nathan, that is amazing because you said, Vic, we need to do a whole other program on Cyrus. So that's pretty much what we're going to pick it up and go through chapter 45. So, Nate, I think it's going to be exciting and fantastic. And hopefully, this will allow people to see how God has such a special plan for everyone of their lives that are tuned into this program, right, Nate?
Absolutely. Well, before we get in 45, let's just lay the groundwork in chapter 44, verse 28. And it's a prophecy. It's about who says of Cyrus, "He is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my God's pleasure," saying to Jerusalem, "You shall be built, and to the temple, your foundation shall be laid." Now, folks, know that the book of Isaiah was written in about 700 BC. So at the time, there was a Jerusalem, there was a temple. So it's very strange that here Isaiah is giving a prophecy, one about a man specifically by name who will allow Jerusalem to be built and the temple foundation to be laid. That must have just, Vic, staggered the people at the time of Isaiah, that he's making a prophecy about Jerusalem having to be rebuilt and the temple to be the foundations laid, because we know from the Babylonian attacks on Israel in 586 BC that they left the city destroyed and the temple razed to the ground. So it's not just a prophecy about the destruction of Jerusalem, but how the Lord will now send somebody to rebuild it.
Nathan, and that's what's amazing about prophecy, foretelling and forthtelling. And that's why we just love the Bible because it is so accurate. And that's what we're going to notice as we continue in chapter 45. More details. Number one, about Cyrus, his title, his purpose, and also his accomplishments. And that is what we find in history, but it's recorded some of this for us here in Isaiah chapter 45. So, Nate, I will go ahead and pick it up verses 1 through 6 in case someone doesn't have a Bible, and maybe you can take us through verses 7 through 13.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
So we notice it says, "Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him and loose the armors of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of the secret places, that you may know that I am the Lord who calls you by your name. I am God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me." And verse 5, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God beside me. I will gird you, though you have not known me."
Right. Okay. You want me to pick up in six then?
Oh, I'm sorry, Nate. That they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I apologize for that. Thanks, Nathan.
Oh, no problem. Verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands you command me. I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hand, stretched out the heavens, and all their host I have commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and let my exiles go free, not for price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts.
Whoa, Nathan. Now we talk about a power-packed chapter, and we're only half in this chapter, and we see so many prophecies.
And it's a little weird too. The book of Isaiah was obviously a book on a scroll. There was no chapter or verse breaks. I'm not quite sure why the monks in the Middle Ages decided to break chapter 45 where it did. If they just backed up a verse, then Cyrus would have been part of this whole prophecy here. But again, we got to remember that at least the northern tribes of Israel knew exile, and they were exiled by the Assyrians because God, through Moses, had told the Israelites, if you keep disobeying me again and again and again, the final punishment will be exile. Sure enough, the northern tribes for hundreds of years absolutely rejected God, and so God sent them by the Assyrians off to the nations of the world. Later, the Jerusalem led, which led Judah, began also to rebel against God. They refused to turn, listen to the prophets like Jeremiah. And so by the late 500s BC, then a new empire rose up, the Babylonians, and they overtook the Assyrians. And then they exiled the southern two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, up to Babylon, but pretty much kept those Judahites, probably where we get the word Jews today, up in that region. So it's fascinating to see, Vic, that wow, we're talking about Cyrus, who isn't a Babylonian and he isn't an Assyrian. He's actually will be the leader of the Medo-Persian Empire. So in this prophecy, it's not just dealing with, in Isaiah's time, the current Assyrian Empire, but it skips the Babylonian Empire and go right to the next giant succeeding empire, the Medo-Persian Empire.
Nathan, it was fascinating. In the midst of this, we also have the book of Daniel, right? That records so many prophecies. So we see over a little bit of this overlap between different individuals that God has used to bring the people of else Israel to repentance, but also to share some prophecies even past our time zone.
Oh yeah. So this prophecy is absolutely amazing, folks, because not only was it written before Jerusalem and the temple fell in 586, almost 120 years earlier, but it also names the ruler of an empire that yet had to be formed, but once it's formed, will then allow the Jewish exiles to return back to the land of Judah and to rebuild the city and the temple. I got Encyclopedia Britannica pulled up here, Vic. It says here that Cyrus the Great, as he was called, wouldn't you like to be called Vic the Great? How do you get one of those? But he was born in 590 to 580 BC. So Cyrus wasn't even born until the time where the Jews were being exiled out of the land of Israel. He's from what is now called Iran, which, of course, Iran's in all the news these days, thousands of years later, as they try to overthrow the Ayatollahs. He was a conqueror. He founded what's called the Achaemenid Empire, which or the Persian Empire. They defeated, or kind of, you say, they merged the Medes, which are the modern day Kurds, into their empire. And then they defeated the Babylons, like you said, during Daniel's time when Belshazzar was the weak king of that empire at that time. And so he was very powerful, and he also had a sub-ruler that was sent, Darius the Great, all these greats. And so Darius also, with Cyrus, were allowed the Jewish people to return back to the land. Isn't it fascinating? So not only do we have a kingdom that had yet to be even created, but the Isaiah names, by God's power, Cyrus, the guy, actually guy who would allow this to happen.
And some would have been confused, Nathan, because he wasn't like one of the believers, if you will, like the Jewish people. God chose to elect, right, this king with a purpose. Today, I know many people don't like our present ruler, Donald Trump, right? But God can elect certain people to actually help us along the way. And that's why God can do whatever he wants with whomever he wants.
You make a great point, because that right there, it says, "You did not know me." And it's not believed that Cyrus ever, like Nebuchadnezzar did, ever come to faith in God. Yet he was an instrument of God. And that's a good purpose, because we heard a lot of Christians over the last, 10 so years, when it comes to Donald Trump, say, "Well, I can't vote for him. He's not a believer. He's not saved." And well, I can't tell you one way or another whether he's saved or not. He does have an admission of faith, and I have heard it. His ego is stunning. So, it makes you wonder spiritual fruit there. But at the same time, doesn't God use people that, even though they don't believe in him, for his purposes? Absolutely. The Assyrians, they were the enemies of God, and yet God used them to punish the Israelites. Same with the Babylonians, till eventually Daniel's witness to Nebuchadnezzar and God's power through Nebuchadnezzar led him, I believe, to have faith in God. Cyrus, I hope, the Bible doesn't record, but he still was an instrument of God. So God can use unbelievers, and he does throughout the Bible, for his purposes. That's just a universal theme throughout the Bible. So when people said, "I can't vote for Donald Trump because he's not a believer," well, that's not a biblical stance. A biblical stance is to trust God to use anybody to accomplish his will.
Nathan, and exactly, and what happened is oftentimes we're just not thinking clearly in terms of how God works. For instance, today you have an issue in your house. There's somebody trying to break into your home, and you call 911. They dispatch a police officer. The police officer comes to your rescue, and you say, "Oh, I'm sorry, police. Are you a Christian or not? I don't know if I can use you today because, of course not." Right, Nate? So we don't ask those questions. Hey, if someone is on my side and they're going to help me and do the things that benefit, this happens all day long. And somehow we think, well, God can't use, again, the example of Donald Trump, or he's not a Christian. But look what he's doing for our country, also for Israel and for many others. So God can fulfill his purpose in whichever way he wants.
Yeah, even when you think about it, the Antichrist will be used by God for the purposes of bringing Israel to its knees one last final time and accept the Messiah as Savior. So, yes, the Lord takes evil and turns it to good. I'm not saying that Trump or Cyrus were evil per se. I personally think Donald Trump's done a fantastic job, but at the same time, people tend to believe, like you said, that Christians have to be the ones doing God's will. The church is the body of Christ, but it is very much a prevalent topic throughout the Bible that, yes, God can use anyone for his will.
And Nathan, the wonderful thing I love about this is that God here points out how special humanity is. Here's someone that the Bible says that he called by name. And twice we hear there, verse 4, "I even called you by your name." In the book of Revelation, in the churches, right, Nate, the Bible says that we're going to be given a new name. And the wonderful thing is that God knows everyone by name, how many hairs are on their heads. With me, it's not hard to count because I don't have any left. But Nate, God has a wonderful purpose for humanity.
He does. And I love these, like verse 9 and all, where he again asserts, "I am the maker." And so if, does the hammer question what the carpenter's doing with it? That's basically what he's saying here. Why are you all questioning my choice in picking Cyrus to be? There's no point in that. Just trust that God has it. And we do that. We're like, why in the world has God done this or that or that? Well, he has his purposes. And, we as his faithful children just have to, I love that old song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey.
Oh, that is fantastic. Nate, I love the story of Cyrus. You know, Cyrus here, he is the deliverer for Israel. He is that coming king, if you will. Jesus is the deliverer for Israel. He is the coming king. Cyrus is going to build a temple. Jesus is going to build the kingdom, right, Nathan? The millennium kingdom. Revelation chapter 21 speaks about that. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. So God is so much involved with his people, and he cares for them, and he has a plan in a future.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Cyrus is also a type of Christ. Whenever you see a person in the Old Testament that points to Jesus, it's because the Lord is something about their life or their personality points to Jesus. And the fact that Cyrus is Israel's deliverer out of exile points to the next section, which is verse 14 to the end of the chapter, that points to the Lord as the Savior.
Praise the Lord. And with that, we'll pick it up there. Nate, if you want to do verses 14 through 21, and I'll read verses 22 through 25 in case someone doesn't have a Bible.
All right, 14 to 21. Thus says the Lord, the labor of Egypt, the merchandise of Cush, and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over to you, and they shall be yours. They shall walk behind you, they shall come over in chains, and they shall bow down to you. They will make supplication to you, saying, surely God is in you, and there is no other God. Truly, you are God. You hide yourself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed. And also disgraced, all of them, they shall go in confusion together, who are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who has not created it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place on the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you who've escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge who carry the wood of their carved images and pray to a God that cannot save. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me.
Ooh, verse 22, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. In the Lord, all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. Another amazing passage, Nate.
Yes, I mean, here is not only God saying, okay, you want proof that I'm God? I'm going to give you a prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, your exile, and who your deliverer is going to be. And if you have any doubts, I'm going to name them. Brother, as the Jewish people were in exile, they could read Isaiah's scroll, Isaiah's prophecies, and know that they would be delivered one day. It was meant to give them hope in that time. Likewise, the Lord for this church age has given us the Bible, the totality of his revelation, so we too can have hope that this dark age will finally end, that Jesus will return victorious, and as his children, we will have victory in him.
And Nathan, someone might be asking, well, how do we know that's true? Well, the Lord challenges you here by asking that question, right?
Yes, exactly. Who is God? Who is God? He says, I am the maker. I'm the one who created things. I've given you prophecies to prove I am who I am. I am your savior. And he says, you could turn to idols and they are worthless. There's no other God but me. And brother, that resonates. That resonates. If only people took that to heart, we'd live in a completely different world.
Oh, absolutely, Nate. And just verse 22, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God and there's none other. Nate, and that resonates even today. It's the same message, right, Nate? Whether it's 2,500 years ago or now, the Lord is still saying to people, look to me. Listen, if you find yourself today in a jam, in a trouble, in a situation that you're wondering, how am I going to get out of this? Who can help me? The Bible simply says, turn your attention to the Lord. Put your eyes upon Jesus, right, Nate? And God is right there at a moment's call.
Absolutely. Yes. There is really no other God. Everything else is either a demon or a fake. And when you put your faith and your life into fakes, living the lie, then your destiny will be continual deception and eventually hell. Our ministry has been teaching through our brand new End Times Prophecy chart, and we recorded an episode of Christ in Prophecy this morning all about hell. And brother, the more you read about hell, the more disturbing it is. How horrible to be separated from true life, which is God Himself, like cutting a branch off a tree. You might look okay for a little while, but eventually you'll wither and die. And that's exactly what happens when we're cut off from God. We're born cut off from God. And that's why we need to turn to Jesus, our Savior, who saved us from our sins by dying on the cross and then taking our punishment upon Himself. And when we accept that gift and faith and repentance, we're promised to be restored back to Him, back to life, and that's how we get eternal life.
Oh, praise the Lord, Nate. And Nate, I noticed there too, just so many wonderful passages just relate verse 23 as it talks about that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, right, Nate? And the reality is that we can either bow down to Jesus voluntarily today or be forced to someday as king and ruler. And God wants to invite you to have a relationship with you. He doesn't want to force you to do anything. But if you consider your life and you recognize that you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, give him an opportunity now while there is still time. He is the Savior of the world. And someday, right, Nate, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Absolutely. You can surrender your life to Jesus now and bow before him, for he is king. He's the lover of your soul. Or you could be resurrected from the dead and stand before him at the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20. And since you'll be missing the only work that counts, the work of Jesus Christ, you'll be sent to the lake of fire. You will die. You'll be cast into eternal torment. That is the future for people. Because of their sins, because they are in rebellion against God. And that's just the reality of it. And folks, there's only two destinations for everybody. We could take different roads to get there, but eventually we will either stand before the Lord as one of his children, living life forever with him, or our knee will be forced to bow. We will end up judged for our sins, and we'll be cast in the lake of fire. That's the only two directions people have. And that's why, Vic, it's so important that in this life, it's the only opportunity we have to make a confession of faith for Jesus Christ.
Oh, absolutely, Nate. And speaking of that, I know we only have about a minute left to the program, but if you are part of this program and you come to recognize, wow, I really need to consider my eternity here, my life. If you haven't given your life to Christ and at this moment you recognize that you want to start that relationship, Nathan and I would be so glad if you would just at this moment, right wherever you are, call on the name of the Lord with a very simple prayer that I will lead you. And if you pray this prayer and you mean it from your heart, God will transform your life. Just recognizing that you have broken God's commandment, that you are a sinner, but you are repenting from those sins. You're asking God to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And with that, you can simply say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. And God, right now, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I want to invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and to be my friend. And from this day forth, I want to follow you, Jesus. In your name I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And wherever you are, if you pray that prayer and you meant it from your heart, listen, God has granted you eternal life, and there's a celebration in heaven right now for you. You can also reach out to us if you're in need of prayer, calling us at 305-992-9537 or texting. Or write to us at webminister@lamblion.com, and we would love to rejoice with you. And Nathan, what a wonderful way to close this story of Cyrus, right, Nate? And what a wonderful message of salvation found in here.
Right. If you can't be amazed at a man who was named 150 years before he was born and accomplished all these prophecies, then you're going to be hard to please. But folks, I think this story should really, really cement your foundation and old belief that the Bible is indeed the Word of God, and you can put your faith and trust in it.
Praise the Lord. Thanks, Nate. And of course, we ran out of time for this segment of the program. We thank you for being part of this program in Isaiah 45 to talk about Cyrus the shepherd. Vic Batista and Nathan Jones saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a wonderful day.
The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.